Blog Talk Radio.
This is a dangerous group. The groups that we're.
Ladies and gentlemen!
What's this nonsense?
Good evening, listeners. That is right, keeping it real right now. It's Tuesday, keeping it real with Nikki Outlaw. My wonderful co-host, Lady Q, is on the line. And shout out to our girl, KD. She's under the weather tonight and cannot join us, but she is here in spirit and listening to us. Like we all listen to each other when one of us is not here. We love you. We will miss you tonight, girl. But as we all know, it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday evening. So we want y'all to sit back. We want you to relax. Take a load off from the day and just unwind. Get your wine. Get your tea. Get whatever you need to sit back and relax. And, of course, bring that humor because we're going to be probably laughing it up like we do every Tuesday. Just having fun. Like we said, this is just, you know, us keeping it real and bringing you informative information from whether it's the news, celebrities, whatever it is, we're going to bring it to you, as well as guests. Now, ladies and gentlemen out there, if you are a business owner, you got, you know, you're doing your own thing, you got, you're a motivational speaker, you're an author, you're a photographer, chef, I don't care what it is, and you want to come on our show, please contact us, and we will make that happen. You can reach us either via Facebook at Keeping It Real, real is spelled with a three for the E, on Facebook with Nikki Outlaw, as well as email us at kir3al@gmail.com. That is us, because we want y'all on the show. We're local. We love to support our local come-ups, and that means everybody. Lady Q, girl,
yes,
what
ma'am.
Have you been up to? We have not. I didn't get to talk to you last week. You were under the weather.
Well, my kids were more under the weather than me. I just had a blinding migraine, but now it's funny because this week I've been dealing with getting their cold that they had last week. So I woke up this morning, I could barely talk in my nose, but it's cool as long as I don't have that migraine. That is something rough to deal with. But I'm good this week. My kids are back healthy. So we're all doing well. As long as they're good,
wonderful.
I'm good.
Wonderful.
How's your week been?
Yeah, I'm going to be perfectly honest. You know, we're going to keep it real, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's only been 3 days into the new week, but it's been a little rough. You know, I've had some blessings and some downfalls. You know, the devil is always attacking you no matter what you're trying to do and accomplish. And every now and then he has stepped foot once again, and, you know, I'm just praying and staying fast and survivor, right? We're going to keep on moving, and he's going to keep on getting stomped down. Overall, though, we're blessed. We woke up this morning along with everybody else that we have seen or heard or talked to today. So we're good. We are good. How is your sister and your husband? Because your sister, did she tell you she came on the air? Did you get to listen to us last week?
I did listen, and she had called me late that night and told me, she said, I called and where were, I was just talking, and I'm like, wait, where are you? And I said, yeah, I had this migraine, I couldn't shake, it was awful, I couldn't even listen live, because at the time the show was going on, I was laying in the dark room, just laying there, because I had just gotten my kids down, and I just laid there, until I fell asleep. And then I woke up, but I listened to it. I think Sunday night I listened to it, and I was cracking up. Y'all had so much fun. I was just laughing the whole time. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I love these two ladies. Y'all are so funny.
I mean, I got to listen to yours and Katie's the week before when I was off. So, it's, you know, hey, it's 3 weeks in a row, and all of us have now taken at least one day off. One day off. Hey, it is what it is. It's all good. But you know what? Like I said last week, and I'm going to say it again, it is comforting to know that you're able to work with people and they have, like, if just like today, last week, and the week before, when all three of us have had different, for different reasons, had to be off the air. You know, we listen to people on the air, listen to people on the TV, and you see them, you know, they're off and they have to be gone, whether they're sick or doing something else, and somebody steps in. And, you know, being the spectator, you're going, oh, I wonder what's going on, and, you know, you can't do it like the other person. But, you know, sometimes things happen. It's called life, and it's good to know when somebody else can step in there and have your back and keep the show and the format rolling. I love it. I really do. So I'm a hats off to my teammates, as my girls right here on Internet Real. I love y'all. I love it. And ladies and gentlemen, we got some stuff in store for you. My ladies and I have some ideas. We've been bouncing stuff off back and forth. So please stay tuned to some promotional things in the future. 2013 is going to be an even better year than 2012. For us, for this show, we feel it, we know it, and only God can make it happen. So I'm excited.
Me too. I'm so excited about what we're about to do.
I know, right? I mean, all the things that we've been bouncing back and forth off via the email and Facebook, I just can't wait to see them become real. You know, I just can't wait. And I know the listeners are probably going, well, give us something. No, I want y'all to wait when it happens. So when it happens, things that we got going on, things that, so get that name out there a little bit more, y'all be like, oh, this is what they were talking about. Yes, this is what we were talking about. So we're definitely excited and can't wait to have those things happen. Wow, the switchboard is lighting up tonight. I'm excited. I'm really excited. We do have a special guest tonight. Mr. Ab Mork will be coming with us shortly. He is a author, a freelance writer. This man has like a long list of stuff going on. But as I said, he's an author, freelance writer, a retired professional bull rider. And I'm so excited to hear that part. A television commentator, a motivational speaker, a licensed financial services representative, and in my opinion, the best of the best is a single father. So, you know, hats off. We did that back in, what was it? We didn't do that for Father's Day, Lady Q.
Yep. Yes, we did. Absolutely.
Our hats were off to our single fathers. So we definitely and acknowledge single fathers, just like we do single moms and moms of kids, period, because, hello, it is a chore. So we're excited. We are going to play for you tonight Being Ignored by Lene Michele.
Like I didn't hear as you sang along. caught my eye. You took me by surprise. There's something about you, girl, that left a young G hypnotized. I don't know what it is, but I gotta figure out how to be with one when I'm so used to the player route. I've been in love before, yeah, I know what love about. Hurt them or you get hurt first, depends on how things working out. Moving out, I thought about, but all I know is she for sure. You may come, you may go, I don't know how you may roll. Therefore, I just do my thing, in my lane, run my game. Option weighing on my scale, relationships is earthly hell. Forgive me if you feel ignored, truly I do cut for you. Hopefully you can see, wait a while and we can be.
I hear your stories of tragic times, but I still deserve to be treated right. When you ignore me, you just show me that I'm never on your mind. How can you look at me the way you do? This ain't no fun to have no follow through. If you want me like you said before, then why am I being ignored? How can you grin at me from ear to ear? Then prove that you'd be so insincere. If you want me, what you're waiting for? Tell me why am I being ignored? How can you look at me the way you do? Then say no fun to have no follow.
Welcome back, welcome back. That was Stevie Diamond, Work This Out. And before that, it was Being Ignored by Renee Michelle. Wow, what a great way to start off the evening, get us all wound up, ready to go. Lady Q.
Yes, ma'am. I was feeling that second song. I love that.
I know. Well, you know we got to play people. You know we had them on the show, so we got to still show our love for our previous guests. So, but we are now going to bring on our guest of the evening, Mr. Ab Morris. Good evening. How are you?
Fine. How are you? Thank you, Nikki, for inviting me on your show.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Please say hello to my co-host, Lady Q.
Hello, Lady Q. This is Abe Morris in Colorado. How are you?
Hi, Mr. Abe. How are you?
I am fine.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me and having me on your show.
Yeah, we are excited. We are excited because like I was telling the listeners earlier, you have like a long repertoire of what you have done and accomplished, and I honestly don't even know where to begin. I know Lady Q and I are very interested in, but why don't you tell us your story? How did you start your religious career start?
It actually started in Woodstown, New Jersey, at a place called Cowtown Rodeo. And before I ever went to kindergarten, my father, who was a Baptist minister, sent me to Cowtown because I had four older cousins, and they were all bigger and rougher and tougher than myself. It was Gene Walker, Gene, David, Jimmy Lee, and Willie Ed Walker were my cousins. And he just wanted them to toughen me up a little bit, so he sent me to stay with them, and I lived with them for the whole summer before I ever went to kindergarten.
Oh, wow. So is that how you started your whole rodeo career, bullfighting and cowboy?
Yes. They lived about 150 yards from a rodeo arena called Cowtown Rodeo. It's a pretty famous professional rodeo. It's been gone on for about 60 years now, but they were there, and basically the rodeo was just in their backyard. I was too young to be involved, but they were just starting to get involved, and they just convinced me to do what they did, and they were all my heroes and my coaches. And at first I didn't want to do it because I was afraid to get on, you know, ponies and calves and things of that nature, but they encouraged me and coaxed me and just kind of guided me through the process.
Wow.
Wow.
I know.
That is awesome. And that is an unusual thing for, you know, African Americans to do. Is that something that you saw a lot of in that area? Were there a lot of, you know, young African American kids involved in that activity? And how did that translate into school?
Well, there wasn't a lot of us. Probably as I grew up, you know, we had other friends that got involved, but mostly it was my cousin, the Walker brothers, that started doing it, and then I started doing it. We had maybe five or six other guys as we got older that did it too, that were African American, but it was something that, you know, we were just kids. We just wanted to have fun and ride ponies and stuff like that, and there was also a flea market there. So there was an abundance of livestock that would come in on Tuesdays and go through a sale ring. And, you know, they had livestock that they left over on Wednesday morning. We would go out to the barn, and if we saw something that we could ride, we'd go get our ropes and go ride them.
Oh, wow. That sounds
Yes, it does sound. That sounds interesting. I just don't, you know, you hear kids going out, oh, I went outside to play with the dog. I went outside. You know, have cats. You don't hear too many, you know, well, I'm on the East Coast, so you don't hear too many going, oh, I went outside and I decided I wanted to go out here and I wanted to, you know, ride a cow or rope a bull. But it's just amazing. It's just, I'm just very, I mean, I've watched them on TV and stuff, but I've never seen one in person. And I do, that is one of the things on my bucket list, yes, it is, to actually see a live rodeo. So to actually have you on the air and talking about it is just awesome. It's amazing. And again, as my co-host said, like you said, it's very rare to find an African American who is doing it, because, you know, most of us are running away from something that has, you know, horns and things. Just keeping it real. I'm just saying. Usually we're running in the opposite direction and saying, yeah, okay, you go ahead and you do that while I'm over here.
So how long were you involved in the rodeos? How long did you, you know, did you compete? And how long were you involved in that stuff?
Well, to be honest, I'm still involved. I competed.
Okay.
I started riding calves when I was probably about 6 years old. And my cousins they'd bribe me. They would give me a quarter to go, you know, to get on these calves. And a quarter back then bought probably, I'm going to say, a soda and a candy bar. So I thought that was pretty good. But they would bribe me to get off calves. Yeah, and then they would laugh. They thought it was funny. But I thought it was kind of neat to do it. But when I turned 10 years old, they started an event called Junior Bull Riding. And these were just the younger bulls that were about 2 years old. And I had to get permission from my dad to compete in the rodeo, in the Junior Bull Riding event, because my cousins were already doing it. And he told me, first he said no, and then I kept, you know, bugging him, and finally he said, yeah, he said, go ahead. He said, but the first time you get hurt, don't come to me crying. And so, yeah, the first time I went out there, my cousins, like I said, they were great coaches. They put me on the easiest bull, and I ended up winning second place. And after
wow.
that, I was hooked. Yeah. Well, like I said, it was the easiest bull in the pen. But I ended up winning second.
It's still a good accomplishment. Wow.
That's still impressive, because I'm not getting on a bull.
Right. You can't even get me on a mechanical one now, so if I can't even go on a machine, I don't even think I'm going to go. I think it was Kansas City a couple of years ago, and they had this in one of those restaurant bars or whatever. There was one, and everybody was getting on, and I was at a conference, and everybody was, I mean, no, Nikki didn't get on. Mm-mm. I just waved. So if I can't even get on that, I know I'm not going to get on a real one. But you know what? We have a caller who, from 414, caller, state your first name for it, please. Call 414. Hello?
Hey, this is Mel.
Hello. Hey. It's Lolis. How you doing, girl?
It's Lolis, baby. Mm-hmm. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yes. Well, we have a guest on tonight, Ab Morris, and he is a roundabout individual. Right now we've been talking about his being a professional bull rider. Did you have any comments you wanted to, or questions you want to ask him?
Yeah,
I actually just tuned in. You said a professional what?
Bull rider.
El Matador. El Matador.
What is that?
El Matador.
Screaming in the
park. I'm going to tell you what it is.
No, not a bullfighter.
So
a bullfighter.
Not a bullfighter.
No, no,
a
no.
Rider.
He doesn't
ride
fight them. He rides them. Like,
I can't hear because somebody in the background is talking. Okay, repeat it again.
Okay, he is a professional bull rider, rides bulls professionally.
A matador.
Anyway.
Yes, like a matador. There you go.
Yeah.
No, a matador is a fighter,
I,
a bull fighter.
No, because I couldn't hear you.
Oh, that's right. Patrick, we're all getting all confused here. Anyway.
Oh, wow. I do have a question. I do.
Okay, go
ahead. I'm in the middle of writing my book. And I thought it was going to be done in like, well, maybe 2 years, and I'm stuck. So how do you get it going?
All right. So, Ab, so, and
yes,
you are an author, you are
age.
So sorry, age. Since you are an author as well, give other individuals out here who, you know, are trying to write and they're at a point, or whether it's the creative point or they're, as our caller Mel had said, she's writing but she's stuck.
Well, what I did, I wrote the book. It took me about 11 months to actually write the book, and I wrote every day pretty much until I was finished. I was pretty motivated. Hardest part for me was actually just sitting down at the computer and starting, but it took a lot of dedication. But after I finished writing my book, then I had to do a search, and I sent it out. I sent query letters out to a whole lot of literary agents. That's kind of what you do. It took me over a year and a half before I finally found a publisher who said they would publish my book. So it's a long process, but everybody told me you better have some thick skin, because I got tons of rejection letters, said, looks good, sounds good, but not for us.
Mm. Did you ever think of self-publishing?
I did. I told myself I was going to give myself at least 2 years, and then I would self-publish it. But I found the publisher. My publisher is Pronghorn Press. She's in Wyoming, and I was living in Colorado at the time. And basically, I contacted her, and she called me up, and she wanted to read the manuscript first, of course. And once she read it, she called me back and said, I'd like to ask your permission to publish your book. And that was like music to my ears. I go, finally, I found somebody. I said, well, everybody else has told me no, so I certainly wasn't going to turn her down.
All right. So since we are talking about you being an author, let's talk about your books. One book is Justin, A Father's Fight for His Son, and the other one is My Cowboy Hat Still Fits. Let's talk to us about Justin, because I did read a little synopsis about that, but I want you to tell our audience what that book is really talking about.
Okay, well, I'll give you the background. Basically, I wrote the rodeo book, but all the while I kept telling my publisher all these horror stories about my ex-wife wouldn't let me see my son, all, you know, going through the court case, going through the, you know, child support, which to me was unbelievable. I mean, it's criminal what the New Jersey court system, and I'm going to just name it Union County, New Jersey. It was criminal. No, I'm going to say what they did. It was criminal, and it still is what they did to me, and I'll just say it on the air. The judge who set my child support is the same judge who presided over the divorce case of Governor James McGreevy. She set his child support at $250 a week. Now, that's a former governor of the state of New Jersey. The same judge, and I'll just tell your name because, I mean, it's all documented. Her name is Karen Cassidy. She set my child support at $280 a week and told me in the court if I argued about it, she would raise it right then and there to over $300. Now, you can't tell me. And if you go back and you look at the parameters of the New Jersey child support system, I should have been paying about $109 a week for child support. But yet I was court ordered to pay $280, and within 2 years I was paying $360 a week for child support, $1,442. And then all the while that I was paying the child support, my ex-wife was doing everything she could to keep me from seeing my son. I mean, violate court orders, didn't care. I bought airline tickets for him to visit me. She wouldn't put him on the plane. I mean, all kinds of stuff like that. She just wanted me to give up. So, you know, people told me, you need to write this book because this is a pretty, pretty difficult situation, what you went through. I fought. I basically spent, you name it. I spent my retirements. I spent everything. But the bottom line was, in the end, I won custody, and Justin lives with me and has been with me now for 4 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
Wow. Thank you.
Wow, that is awesome. But, you know, that's a wonderful testimony from a different perspective because, you know, we hear, most everybody hears the side of single moms and the struggles that we have to go through, because I am a single mom, that we have to go through. But you rarely do you hear the side of a father, because there are really good fathers out there, as yourself, who do step up and do what is best for their child. And I commend you. My hat is off to you for stepping up and sticking with it and fighting, you know, staying with it. Because, you know, yes, there's, you know, a coin, two sides to a coin, and there are bad moms and then there are bad dads. And for when the good dad and the good mom step up for the child, you know, you have to give that person their due. And like I said, I commend you, because, you know, that's awesome. And the fact that you stuck it out and continued the fight to get your son, and now y'all have been together for 4 years, and that, to him, is instilling him so many positive characteristics and behaviors and things that he will take when he gets older as a man and an adult, when he gets into a relationship, and what he will take and bring out of that relationship when he, you know, partakes with and you know, has a child of his own. So that's where I'm trying to go with that.
well, thank you. I mean, because I agree with you. I mean, especially African-American fathers, we get berated by, you know, people that, you know, we don't stick up, or we don't do this. And I've done other radio interviews, but one of the hosts told me that she said a lot of the African-American fathers, they're gone before the child is even born. And yet you stuck it out through all you did. I mean, it was amazing how many airline tickets I bought to go back and forth to New Jersey to try to visit Justin. And, you know, there were times when I would have court cases, and my ex-wife, I would fly back to New Jersey and be there for the whole weekend. She refused to let me see my son, knowing I wouldn't be back again for another couple months. And, I mean, I did that for, like, 5 years. I mean, I'm not saying I never saw him, but there were times when I was back there and I'd see him. And then there were other times when I was back there and I'd say, hey, I'm coming. You know, she knew I had a court case. Like, can I see Justin? Haven't seen him for 60 days? No. And even sometimes when I did have a court order that said I could see him, she still refused to let me see him. And every time I would complain to the judges, they would just yawn. It seemed like, you know, don't bother us with this stuff. We have more important things to deal with.
Wow.
So did writing the book, was it, you know, once your publisher convinced you to write it, did you find that it was helpful to you to be able to have an outlet to get all your frustration out about the court system?
Extremely. I mean, basically, the rodeo book was the outlet, because I would think about all the good times, you know, trying to remember what I did, because I wanted the book to be as accurate as possible. And you know, that was the outlet. I mean, the sad thing about it, if you, you know, most people don't know this, but I have a really good memory. And the rodeo book, I wrote it, but I didn't even have access to all my, basically we had a diary of, we would put down the rodeos we entered, the money we won, et cetera, what years, dates, names of bulls, places we went. I had about four of those books that I never would have, you know, I never would have, you know, I'd have kept them for the rest of my life and handed them over to my son. Well, my ex-wife knew that my rodeo stuff was one of the most important things to me, and she took it upon herself to throw that, plus probably, I'm going to say 40 to 60% of my personal property, she threw it in the garbage.
Oh, my gosh.
So
now that everything is settled and you know, have custody of Justin and have for the last 4 years, and you went through a really long process, do you allow Justin to see her?
Well, when I first was granted custody, the judge granted her no visitation.
Oh, wow.
Because of all the stuff she had done. Oh, yeah. It was that bad. It was bad. I mean, you know, I know right now we're talking things like domestic violence and stuff like that. That's an issue. Well, I met my ex-wife, she was the one that got arrested for domestic violence against me. But yet, you know, and she was also ordered to have a psychiatric evaluation. Well, to this day, she has still never done it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty sad. I mean, it was just, the court orders meant nothing to her. They meant a lot to me because I knew if I violated, I'd get in trouble or get arrested. But I don't know. I mean, I feel sad for Justin because his mom really doesn't have very much to do with him at this point. And that's the hard thing. I know he needs somebody, and I need somebody too. I'm not going to say I don't.
Aww.
But, you know, being a single father, it's a blessing to have him here. I really enjoyed him. He's a great athlete. I mean, I honestly believe Justin will play professional sports one of these days, either basketball or baseball. He's that good. He's playing football now, but he just isn't big enough to continue on, I don't think, with his size. But he's a great athlete. I don't want him to ride bulls, though.
Why is that?
Because it's an extremely dangerous sport, and I just kind of sit back and imagine what my mom and dad went through all those years watching me ride bulls, and I've been around. I mean, I was there when a world champion bull rider, Lane Frost, got killed at Cheyenne Frontier Days in 1989, and I saw that with my own eyes, and, you know, it's a dangerous sport. I'd much rather him, and you know, do something else where there's more money and, you know, he can have a longer life and a longer, you know, career. So that's what I prefer.
Wow. If he came to you and said he wanted to follow in your footsteps, or he, you know, read your book, would you be encouraging, or would you just kind of quietly steer him somewhere else?
I would encourage him. I mean, he's been on a steer, and there's been
mm-hmm.
multiple times where he would ask me to take him so he could ride, and I just always told him I was too tired. But we go to rodeos, we go to bull riding events all the time. He loves going. He knows a lot of the contestants, and they know him, but he knows, they ask him, is he going to ride? And I always tell everybody, I say, when someone says to us, so are you going to do like your dad? I always said his dad doesn't want him to ride bulls. I mean, if you saw him play baseball, you'd know why. He throws, he's a pitcher and he's a shortstop, and he throws extremely hard. And when Justin came out here, he started playing baseball, and his coaches would pull me off to the side and tell me, they said, this kid has all the tools to go to Major League Baseball. And that was when he was 9 years old.
Oh, that's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to play a song. And we're going to listen to Train Right Safe Days. We'll be right back.
I should have girl love it, make you scream and shout. Shout out red, you the get, when me give you, when me take. Satisfy your agony, girl, you know me at the best. But the rest of my heart, you want me to sing again.
That was The Bootlegger by Ty Marquise. Listen to some smooth jazz there. Love that song. Okay. And we have been talking with our guest this evening. Find out a lot of interesting information from professional bull riding, which I won't do. I'll leave that to my co-host, Lady Q. You can do that for both of us.
Oh, absolutely! I'm from Texas, girl. I'm not shit. I'm not scared at all.
Yeah, you get up there. I'll have a the tequila on the ground for you. You know, while you're doing that. We're talking about your books, Justin, A Father's Fight for His Son, and then My Cowboy Hat Still Fits. And as you were saying earlier before we went to a music break, the cowboy song, the rodeo song, the rodeo, the book, was really your first book that spiraled into Justin, which I'm going to have to pick up the book to read it, because I now want to know more, because based off of your story and the like I said earlier, the flip side of what you went through being a single dad. So I'm definitely going to have to get the book. But give us a little bit more about My Cowboy Hat Still Fits.
It basically just talked about my rodeo career, coming from Woodstown, New Jersey, Cowtown Rodeo, going to the University of Wyoming, following in the footsteps of my cousin Gene Walker, and, competing on the rodeo team at the University of Wyoming in Laramie, graduating from college, getting a degree in business. Then I went out on the professional rodeo trail for a while, the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, rodeoed for a few years, and then basically just settled down into financial services. And my coworkers told me that, you have a very unique story. You became a television commentator. I announced Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo, which is the largest outdoor rodeo in the United States. I announced that one for television for 9 consecutive years. And they said, being a rodeo, a bull rider, a rodeo announcer, African-American, you came from New Jersey, you need to sit down and write your story. So I did. And then, like I said,
so now I have 2 books I have to get. 2 books I got to get into the collection. Okay. All right. Wow. I'm with your ex-co-workers. Yes, you definitely, and I'm glad, that they inspired you and said, yes, get out there and write your story, because everybody has a story, but we all don't, aren't able to read them unless you put them to words, so, and in a book. So, thank you. I'm excited. We got 2 books now we got to go get.
Tell you this, too. I've had, these were rodeo people, so they knew me, they knew the sport, but there was about 3 or 4 people that told me they read that book in one day. That was the rodeo book. They said they couldn't put it down. They said it was that good, it was that well written. And then when I wrote the book, Justin, A Father's Fight for His Son, I've had at least 3 women that told me on a Sunday they got up and they read that book from start to finish and they were done. I mean, they said it was that. I had one friend who, this is in New Jersey, so she knew me. She took the book to a high school football game and sat in the stands reading it. She said that's how good it was. And then she bought 3 more. She bought 4 more books before I left to come back to Colorado, because she said she wanted to pass it out to her friends.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's a good book for her. Yeah, that's a good book for her to miss a football game. That is awesome. Hopefully it wasn't her child that was playing. So that is awesome. And you know what? You just said it. You're also a motivational speaker. So you actually also go around telling your story.
I did a little bit of that. And then after I got custody of Justin and he moved in with me in August of 2008, I slowed down because I don't have the flexibility to just jump up and run like I used to. I went to Florida. I went to Detroit. I did speeches in New Jersey. And I just can't do that anymore. So my priority right now is to raise Justin. If I get speeches, I've done a few locally in the Denver area, I'll continue to do that. But I won't be going long distance until he is off in college. At least I don't think, or get married. I mean, that's with something. Well, yeah, hint. Well, but you know, Justin has instilled that in me for probably the last two years. He keeps telling me he wants me to find him a stepmom, and I'm all for it. I know he needs somebody, and I'm single, and I need somebody too. So I'm definitely open to that.
Okay. Well, we did it for somebody else on it. One of our other, I can't remember who it was. Oh, wait a minute. Was it Stevie Diamond? I think it was. Anyway, we did say this for him, so I'll say it for you. All right, any listeners out there that are in the Denver, Colorado area and that you're not crazy, we're not, and not a stalker, and you're not, you know, all those other crazy stuff, he has said it on the air more than once.
Well, they don't necessarily have to live in Colorado. I just they live anywhere in the U.S. as far as I'm concerned. But
okay,
it would be easy.
Wherever you are, you know, he doesn't have a preference. He doesn't care. And we have a caller from the 520 area code. State your first name.
My first name
Hello?
Is Bob. Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, pretty good.
I'm good.
My name is Bob, and I'm a friend of Mr. Abraham Morse there.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Bob.
He told me he was going to be on, so I've been listening. And
listening.
Him and Justin do need a good woman. They both need one.
I love that. Oh, everybody's trying to find you a good woman. That is so awesome.
I've known Abe for 20 years. He's a great guy, and he was an awesome bull rider.
All right, ladies, again, he has now been, it has now had his recommendation from a good friend of 20 years. So, again, if you're listening.
Thanks, Bob.
No,
hey, anytime, Abraham.
Sure, ladies only.
Thank you, Bob. We appreciate it. Again, thank you for listening.
Oh, anytime. And okay. We'll talk to you later. You have a
Thanks,
great day.
Bob. Okay.
You bet.
Well, here's, you know, I want to make sure people have my contact information. I mean,
well,
I have a website.
I was going to get that.
Okay, all right.
So go ahead, tell them. Go ahead, get to it. Tell these women out here how they can contact you.
Okay, it's abemorris.com. It's abemorris.com. If you Google me, you'll see there's several entries on the Internet, but you can contact me via my website or my Facebook page. I'm on Facebook, Abe Morris, and I'm open to listening. I mean, like I said, I won't turn down any serious, you know, women that are looking. I know there's a lot of good women out there, and like I said, I'm open to it. I should have somebody, but I don't, and like I said, my priority is raising my son, Justin, but I wouldn't mind some help.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, it is. Lady K, you have any other questions or anything for
I did. I wanted to know, you know, now that you've written the books and you've seen that you've got a very positive response, people seem to like your writing style, they're drawn to you as your person and you and your story. Do you have any more books in the works? Or are you planning on writing another book in the future?
I have three more books that I'm writing.
Awesome.
Yeah, three more. One is on my cousin Gene Walker, who got me started, and he ended up going to Hollywood. He became a stuntman in Hollywood. He has appeared in I don't know how many films, probably 70 to 100 films he's been in. We've seen several of them, you know, The Black Stallion, Far and Away with, let's see, what's his name, Tom Cruise. He taught Tom Cruise how to ride a horse. So
he knows
all those people.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, he's famous. And he was a book writer from Woodstown, New Jersey, and I told him I want to do his story as a way of giving back for all the stuff that he taught me. The other book I want to write is on African-American bull riders, because there are quite a few of us, but people just don't know. So I want to write the stories on about 50 different African-American bull riders who never got the credit that they should have.
You said 50? So there's... So how many
until I found out about you, I had no clue about African American. Seriously. So what's
they,
a
they
what's
do
a
exist. There's a lot of them that were that started in, like, say, the 60s, 70s, mostly Oklahoma and Texas, but they never got credit, and you just don't hear anything about them. So that's why I want to write the book, because I think they, you know, they had their place in history, and they deserve to be noticed and recognized. Most of these guys are retired now, but I still want to write the book about and tell their little personal stories.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like an interesting book that we definitely want to read. And what was the third book that you're working on?
It's a book on Dwayne Hargo. He's another African-American, and he became a world champion bullfighter. Now, he's the bullfighter, the guy that gets the attention of the bulls when guys like me were riding. So he's from California, and I told him I'd write his book. So those are the three books that I have for sure. But the problem is I haven't done much since Justin moved in with me. And that's I don't have the time anymore because – I mean, Justin has baseball, football, basketball practice, and we go from sport to sport year-round. So he keeps me busy, and I don't have the time. But I am committed to writing those three books, plus raising Justin, of course.
And that is quite all right to do that. You know, your priorities are in the right place, and you'll be blessed for it down the road, definitely. We have enjoyed this interview. We would love to welcome you back anytime. Please
Thank
come
you.
Back. We can talk about other things, because I know there's a lot more other stuff that, as I was reading your bio, that we didn't get to cover. But, you know, we thank you for coming on the show tonight, and we definitely welcome you back any other time in the future.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on this evening.
You're welcome. Lady Q, anything you want to say before we go to a music break?
I just want to say you seem like a really awesome father, a really, really good person. Keep doing what you're doing, and the Lord's going to bring you a wonderful woman who's worthy of you and Justin's time and space. And please, if you can get back into motivational speaking, your story, your desire to be in your son's life is a story that needs to be told. There's not enough black men out there shouting about it, and it needs to be told. It needs to be turned around, and you're just an inspiration, and thank you. And please come back. We would love to especially have you back on our Father's Day show. So please, please come back and keep doing what you're doing.
Oh,
thank
that
you very
is
much.
Awesome. That's a great idea. Yes, we want you definitely back for the Father's Day show. We're already looking
okay.
at it right now, June. June 2013. What a great idea. So, but definitely, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Mr. Abe Morris. We thank him, and we had to be with me and Lady Q talking about all the what in the world and craziness that's going on in this world. The last half, we'll be right back. You're going to listen to Show Me How by Ray Bone.
Texting you, sending me pics like a photo shoot. I'm feeling you, you're feeling me. Let me give that body what it needs.
Sexual body,
sexual body. I'm gonna put it out, get a uncork, girl, scream a sound. I'm gonna give it to you, girl, like this.
talking right, giving you stamina all through the night. Touch you there, embrace yourself, girl, get ready, don't be scared, it's your night. I just wanna love you.
Dripping benign, dealing with dealing just with physical fiction, new facade. eyes, I feel they want it. So I'll give it to ends of me. Breathe this energy, ripple its lens wall. I ain't stopping till they kill me. Feel me, regale, squaring off with a gun. The squares like all of them hogs. Ones of love and all of them barnacles. Caught a thug, caught up under pressure. Testing odds, nothing severed and you fall. Stuck, struck with hard luck, you scarred. All shucking and jiving, Paul. Supporting guys with God. Einstein, mind climbing, scientific minds. Strike a pilot, piling fire. How to holler, how you try and see them. If you're not zoning properly, popping me. Rock with E, dash, cap's the own bachelor, master rapper. Agonizing competition, finable time. Stop that.
Well, that was Show Me How by Raybone, and It's Going Down by E-Dash. So, Lady Q, girl, interesting guest. That was awesome.
I love him. I hope he comes back.
We just booked him for Father's Day.
Definitely.
Booked him for the holiday special in June of 2013. So unless something happens, you know, with Justin and he can't do it on whatever the day that Tuesday is in June of 2013, then, you know, yeah. So that's cool. I mean, that's just, I mean, we could have went on and on talking to Mr. Morris, because we still didn't even get to how he became a television commentator. And so he just has a lot of different little facets, which were all good. But the main thing is that they were all geared, you know, eventually to his son. And so that's going to be very inspirational when we get to the Father's Day special. Loving it. All right. You know what? We don't have our Katie right now, and she normally brings us the What in the World segments. But that's okay, because we're going to hold it down, right, Lady Q?
Absolutely.
You had me scared there. I was like, okay, did I lose her? Did I drop?
No, I'm here. We miss you, KD, though. I want to say that. We miss you, KD. Oh, and I want to give a quick shout-out because our awesome host, Nikki, has been officially nominated to the Lawless Awards, the first award show on 12/12/12. So hopefully we'll win. Yay, Nikki.
Yes, that's right. Our first award, you know, show and category of best host. So, yes, woo-hoo, we find out tomorrow. You know, we're going to have it all up on Facebook and everywhere. There, that happens, because that'll be, that's like, wow, we just started, and that'd be great. But, you know, it's not. It's just the fact that we were nominated in our first year, and that right there is awesome. So, whether we win or not, hopefully we win. But anyway, hey, did you hear about, I mean, it's all over the news. I think it was the New York Post, and read it this afternoon, this evening, about the panhandler or whatever the guy was that pushed the father in front of the train in Queens, New York.
Oh, my gosh.
You didn't
no.
hear about that? Oh, my goodness. Yes, girl, Google, go to New York Post, go someplace. Yes, this man, he, we don't really know why, but, this, you know, this Queens man, he lives in Queens, father, you know, everything, was standing on, you know, to get on, waiting for the train to come, like most people do, whether it's a subway, you know, cab, whatever. He was waiting, and this man pushed him down before the train, and while the guy, I can't remember his name, there was some Asian name, like Han or anyway, while he was trying to get out, it wasn't fast enough, because you know how deep that drop is for those trains. And so, you know, that takes a lot of oomph to pull yourself out, let alone to have somebody else pull you out in the nick of time. And the crowd and everybody that was there was yelling and screaming and everything. And what happened is there's some actual film photos of it, because there was a photographer who was also waiting when this all happened. He started flashing his camera, not being rude to say, oh, I'm going to take pictures of this man that has just been pushed. No, he was taking pictures for the flash of his camera to get the train conductor attention,
mm-hmm.
to try and get him to slow down and stop. Well, it got the conductor's attention, but not in enough time. By the time the train actually still slowed down and stopped, it had already ran over the man, and he was pretty much wedged. There was a doctor, a female doctor, you know, on the platform, and she, according to the news report, tried to help, but because of how he was wedged in there, it was a loss. But this man pushes this man out, goes on his little merry way. Luckily, a police officer was able to catch him before he got too far. And, yeah, as of today, this afternoon, they were interrogating him. But crazy. Don't know why. He just, you know, I don't know if it was a random thing or if the man knew him or he, you know, was taking out some vengeance. But that is a total crazy what in the world. You know, you don't, it's,
wow.
Yeah.
It's really sad. I am, I'm looking now. It just so happened I was scrolling down on Facebook and Rochelle Carey, a CNN, HLN, excuse me, reporter, had a story out earlier about how the New York Post apparently published a photo of,
yes.
I guess, right before he got killed, and so they're getting a lot of flack about
mm-hmm.
it. People are saying,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it shouldn't have been published.
And I agree
with
that.
Yeah, people have to be more respectful of his family. There's, you know, his family's involved. This man is a person, and you don't know what sort of family he's got. And, you know, so I think that was very insensitive of the editors of the New York Post to put a picture out there like that of this man last moments before his life was taken away. You know, I think that's terrible, and they I hope they're going to issue an apology because it's just a really terrible thing.
Right, and that's exactly what I was going to say, because that's actually how I found out, is because I want to say it happened yesterday, and that's how everybody found out, is because they were publishing stuff and getting it out there before, you know, you even notify the people, the family. I'm like, you know, anytime accidents happen, you know, people usually go, oh, you know, even the reporters usually go, oh, I can't, you know, the person's 16 years old, but the name is being withheld until you notify them. I mean, we have no clue if that's how the family found out that their husband, son, you know, father was killed. It's sad. It was, you know, senseless as well. And it was very untactful for the, as far as the New York Post is concerned. Very unprofessional, in my opinion. I do agree. So I hopefully they will post a retraction or apology or something in regards to the family. That would be the best and wise and thing to do. So that's what I had. What you got?
What I have is Cat Williams has announced that he is retiring from stand-up. He says, quote, I'm kind of done. And it's interesting, he's had kind of a bizarre week. He was photographed, TMZ had a photo, or actually a video of him slapping a Target employee. It's not clear why, they were just talking and all of a sudden he just slaps them. So that was a little bizarre. And then the next day he was arrested in Seattle after he was at a club or a bar, some sort of night scene, and there was some bizarre incident. He ended up getting into it with the police and ended up in the King County, Washington jail Sunday night on charges of assault and harassment and obstruction. And then when the photographers caught up with him, you know, he said that he is going to go ahead and he said, quote, I'm just going to go ahead and announce my retirement from stand-up. I'm kind of done. And he said, I already discussed it with my kids. I really wasn't going to do it on a Seattle street. I was going to do it in Los Angeles. But I guess the time was right. He is over it. And it's
wow.
Interesting, you know, I always see these comedians who, you know, comedians seem kind of like a tortured soul, you know, people that are in that profession, you're laughing for a reason, you're laughing, you know, to get through a pain or something awful, and you just turn it into laughter. And Cat Williams, you know, he rose really quickly, and he was up there, and it seems like he either hasn't been able to handle it very well, or I'm not sure what's going on, but he has taken quite a fall from grace, which is a really sad thing.
Right, I agree.
Really talented.
I agree. He has definitely been going downhill the last few years, because it's like every time you hear his name, it's not been the positive that we used to hear. I mean, and it's so funny that you brought him up, because I also read something where he was supposed to be doing a show in Cali, and I think it was right before all of this happened. And his shows ended up getting canceled because he was belittling and berating the crowd, and mm-hmm. they had to do the security, you know, had to take him out, and they ended up, you know, canceling all of his shows that weekend. So he has definitely, I mean, in my opinion, he's still a very, you know, good comedian, but he has taken a turn, and I don't want to say the turn for the worse. He's just taken a downward spiral, and I think he mm-hmm. hasn't found his way to get back on top. He's like at a standstill.
I think he also might think a little too much of himself, like, you know, little man syndrome, because he's only a little hurt. And he, you know, mm-hmm. he was reportedly that night saying, you know, yelling out things to the officer, like, you know, your job's going to be over once people realize who I am. And I, quote, have millions of dollars, so this arrest will not affect me. I have been arrested over 30 times in the last few months. You know, just saying things like that says that you're a little out of touch with reality. The reality is you're still a black man in America. So settle down, little man. Get yourself together. Do what you're good at and make money at it without, you know, mm-hmm. being, I'll use a PG word, a douchebag about it. You know, just, he's got kids and he's got, you know what I mean? There's no reason to run around trying to make yourself bigger than you are, you know, make people know who you are. A lot of people don't know who Cat Williams are, especially if you're not in the African-American community. You know what I mean? He's very Afrocentric when it comes to his shows and the type of audience he's drawing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's
and
a lot of people who don't know who you are. And even if they did know who you are, you're still a person, so settle down. You still have to follow the rules. You still have to, you know, do what you do. You're not Lindsay Lohan and you're not Charlie Sheen. So, you know,
well, let's not even bring them up. let's not even bring them up, because let's say downward spiral, they have definitely hit that.
Oh my God.
They're almost at the bottom, I think. I mean, they're
and
just.
And I feel so bad for Lindsay. Speaking of Lindsay, did you see Liz and Dick? Did you watch it?
No, I didn't. But I've seen little snippets off the news, and, you know, I haven't watched it.
Don't waste your time. It's awful.
Okay.
And I feel bad, because I was a kid when Lindsay first came out, and I really liked her as an actress. I don't know why, maybe it's because she's young and she has such crazy parents, but I always hope that, oh, this will be the time that she gets it together. Oh, wait, no, this will be the time that she gets it together. So I was hoping with this movie that it would be, you know, her coming back, even though I'm not sure why they even put her for the role of Liz. It was a little awkward. And it was
just trying to get her career back up. It was like, you know, trying to give her the monumental.
Really?
I'm guessing. I don't know. Because, I mean, you know, before that, she was, you know, drugs, alcohol, in jail, mm-hmm. out of jail, car wrecks, being with the woman, being with the man. She was just all over the place. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to think of the PR that they were probably thinking, okay, we need her to take a role that people might take her seriously in. That's where I'm coming from.
I think they used her. I think, you know, Lifetime is a network that has had some struggles over the years, and I think they took advantage of Lindsay. I think they knew that as a network, they needed some quick help to get them out of a little bit of a rut. They are in trouble as a network. And I think, you know, Lindsay brings a certain amount of controversy and a certain amount of curiosity all at the same time. And so I feel bad because I really think that they used her. I don't think they had any good intentions. I think they used her for the publicity and the curiosity to bring it to the network, because that night it was, you know, countdown going on to the show, and there was all these promos during the show for all their new shows, and it was a lot going on. They re-showed the movie like 3 times that night. It was a lot going on, and I think, you know, I felt bad because I felt like in the end of it, because it was really a bad movie, that they just kind of latched on to her struggles and troubles, and it was just yet another person in her life using her. I felt really sad, and I still do. I feel sad for her, especially in the days after she had some more issues going on in the club, and, you know, people once again had all their comments about it. And I think when it comes to that, she's still a young girl, so she has the right to go out and party and have a good time. She has earned that. She's working since she was 5, so she has earned the right to go out and do what she's got to do. Now, of course, she is a public figure, so she's got to do it in a more responsible way, but I don't know. I hope she can get it together. Still holding on hope for
you,
Lindsay.
I hope so, too, because I agree with you. She is. Yeah, I hope so, too, because I agree with you. She is a very talented, you know, young lady. And, I mean, I've loved, you know, most of the things that she's been in. And, unfortunately, you know, when you're in the public eye, sometimes you do take the wrong turn because it gets kind of overwhelming. And hopefully, you know, I do pray that she finds that niche that she needs to turn it all around, because she's young, she can bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
She just needs to settle down and refocus. And I honestly think maybe she just needs to take a break, you know, like completely away from the entertainment world, like some people do. You take a break. And I think that's probably what she really needs to do. She needs to just take a break, go find yourself behind closed doors and not in front of the camera.
And not even in Hollywood or New York, like somewhere in Wyoming,
completely.
You know, out in Montana.
She could go to Colorado.
The with the mountains, the fresh air, you know, she just needs a little dose of reality and settle her life down and get it together.
Right. Exactly. I agree. Actually, you know what? There's a birthday that I want to shout out for today, and that is Tyra Banks. Did you know today was her birthday?
I didn't. Oh, happy birthday, Ms. Tyra.
Yes. Today is her birthday. So, shout out to Tyra Banks. I was going to do that at the beginning of the show, and I completely forgot. So, but yes, today is her birthday.
How old
is she today? I think she's like 38, 39 today. It's one of the two. Wait, no. Yes, she's 39 because she, okay, I'm telling her, I'm not even, yeah, she's 39.
That's awesome.
She's 39 because I remember seeing something with her with the year that she was born. So she's 39 today. Yep.
Well, that's awesome. 39 and fabulous. Still kicking, looking gorgeous.
I
can't wait for the next thing from Tyra. I'm a big Tyra fan. I miss seeing her on an occasion. I didn't watch her show all the time because she was a little bit annoying. But I still love her because she's so smart. And so just get, you know, doing all her things, the young girl.
Well, you know, on that, you know, on the show, she fired or somehow he's not coming back, Nigel.
Oh,
America
really?
Yeah,
I haven't watched Top Model in probably 4 years. It became a little redundant. But really, Nigel's not coming back?
Yeah, he's not coming back. I don't know all the particulars. I was today when I was trying to, you know, when I was reading up on different things that I might have wanted to bring up, you know, in the What in the World segment, I glanced over the headline of that and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to bring that one out. But, you know, I don't know all the particulars. I don't know why he's not coming back, but he's not coming back. But it's all good. And I'm like you. I love Tyra, and I watched it faithfully for a while, and then I have went away, and then I've gone back, and then I went away. And, like, right now I'm in that kind of, I watch it, like, once every blue moon. It's not, like, a regular thing for me. So it is what it is, definitely. I want to say that, KD, we know you're listening, and when you finally listening, we missed you. We love you, and we'll chit-chat with you next week, hopefully, all God willing, all three of us will be back on the air and live. Lady Q, are you loving, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're loving our new theme song to the intro of our show.
Oh, my God, I love our new theme song. That was a surprise to Katie and I. It was kind of like, whoa, you know, we didn't even know that was coming, and that was cool. I was bopping along. I was like, oh, yay, that's
people. I know, right? It just makes you want to bop and move. It's like, okay, hey, why don't you? I love it. And believe me, I did not know about it either. I had to, I texted and I thanked him for all of us. So it was definitely a good surprise because when y'all heard it and when I listened to the show with the two of you later, that's when I heard it. I was like, oh, my goodness. And then, of course, last week I heard it for the first time being on the show. So, big things coming. You know, we're moving. So that's just one more step in the right direction. So shout out to the chairman, founder and CEO of It's Lawless Radio for putting that together for us. TL, we love you. We thank you. I want to remind everybody to please go and like our page on Facebook, Keeping It Real with Nikki Outlaw. The real has a 3 as an E. And please partake in our contest of Cowboys versus Redskins. Basically, that's Lady Q versus KD. The loser will wear some familiar team.
Oh, wow. I don't have a red pin on the phone today. I can talk all my noise. Cowboys!
You know, she's laughing and going, boo!
I know. Got one on Thanksgiving, Katie. I'll give you that. Y'all won on Thanksgiving. Boo. But we're still tied up, so we still got a little bit of a season to go. So we'll see how this plays out.
Yeah. We might want to spice it up a little bit more versus y'all just wearing some paraphernalia. I don't know. Might be a little mini video of y'all doing like a cheers. I don't know. We'll come up with something to spice it up a little bit. Got to get a little bit more steps going. So any of our listeners and fans, if you have an idea of what KD or Lady Q can do with one of their teams, you know, and they have to wear the other person's paraphernalia, do you have an idea of what they can do? PG version, please.
Yes, please
send us an email. Or as again, if you are a business owner, author, singer, musician, photographer, model, actor, actress, good Lord, the list is endless. Whatever it is, contact us at keepingitreal@gmail.com. We love you. We thank you. It's Lawless.